The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who was a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, for he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open his eyes?" He answered them, "I have already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you're trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that he had been driven out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who, sir, is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who may see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Those of you who don't know me don't realize the kind of trouble I used to get in when I was growing up. And folks, I used to get in a lot of trouble. When I was growing up, in the corner of my house, there were permanent nose prints in just about every corner from the time that I had to spend in them. When I was in school, there was always a desk parked out in the hall of every classroom that had my name on it. And every principal knew who I was. And trust me, that was a good thing. I got in trouble all the time. And for all kinds of different things, so much so that they all just kind of meld together into one giant punishment. But there are a few that do stand out, like the time that my father had to leave work because I decided that I wasn't going to get on the school bus that day. Or the time that I was passed by the PE teacher. The first time I got sent to the principal's office is one that I'll never, ever forget. But then there was this other time that was actually a combination of two times that I got in trouble. When I was in the eighth grade, we were given the assignment to do a project for the science fair. We had almost the entire semester to complete this project, and me being me, I decided not to start this thing until the night before it was due. Now, my mother was a middle school teacher, and so needless to say, she was not very thrilled with my academic prowess in all of this. And so, with all the stress in the house, I was grounded for 2 weeks. And the culprit of it all was television. Or at least that's what got the blame. And so for those 2 weeks, I was not allowed to watch television. Well, about a week into this punishment, my parents both went out one evening. I was supposed to do homework. But instead, I flipped on the television. It was a victimless crime, and there was no way she was ever going to know that I had watched it, right? I mean, it's not like these were the days where I had nanny cams in the place. But turns out that my mom is a lot smarter than I thought and a lot smarter than I'll ever be. When she came into the house, I wasn't in that room. But she called me into the living room and said, "Stephen, I want you to do something. Put your hand on the back of this television and tell me what you feel. Did you know that when TVs run for a while, they get hot? I do now." So for the next 6 weeks, I had no TV, no telephone, no friends, no fun. Grounded for 6 weeks. Which leaves me with this question. Which one of you people did something that got all grounded for 8 weeks? I mean, really? That's what the CDC is saying, right? CDC is saying that we're supposed to stay in for the next week, for the next 8 weeks. Hopefully it won't be that long. Hopefully we're turning the corner. But you know, there's no contact with much of anybody. We got to stay in our house and a lot of folks can't go to work. I don't know. It feels a little bit like punishment to me. And it's not so surprising that some people would think this, because it seems like just about every time there's national or world tragedy, we blame God, and surely God is punishing us for something, right? You remember when 9/11 hit, Jerry Falwell said that it was actually God's punishment on us for the gay community, for abortion laws, for no prayer in schools, for all kinds of different things and all the sins that we commit. And then when Katrina hit, Franklin Graham said it was because of the sinfulness of New Orleans. And then there were tons of other things. When Haiti had a huge earthquake, Pat Robertson actually said that it was because of a deal that they made with the devil many years ago. But now with COVID-19, you got more evangelists popping up, giving reasons why God is punishing us. Once again, it's probably because of the gay community or abortion laws or something about that. There's always some reason that we're being punished for things that are happening in this world. And for some reason, every time we say that we're being punished for something, it's usually whoever's saying it is blaming it on somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never a sin that we're committing. And the problem that we have with this is, as we look at COVID-19, we got to wonder, is God punishing us? I mean, I'm kind of an expert on punishment, and I got to be honest with you, it sounds a whole lot of punishment to me. But you know something? It doesn't sound a whole lot like God. If you look at today's gospel reading, it begins with Jesus' own disciples asking a very similar question. They passed by a man who had been blind since birth, and so they asked Jesus, what'd he do? What did this man or his parents do to make him blind? Surely he must have sinned. Somebody must have done something wrong to make him end up like this. See, that's what the Jews believed. I mean, if you did good, then you were blessed. And if you didn't do good, well, then you were cursed. And something would befall you, you know, like being blind or having a child who was blind. And so this was their understanding of God. They were blind to the reality of what God is really like. And then, after Jesus goes and gives this man his sight back, then we see even more blindness. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, the people that should have known better, well, they also didn't really understand what God is all about. Because all they could see, instead of this incredible miracle that had just taken place, where a guy who had been blind his entire life could all of a sudden see, whose entire world was based on being able to sit out and beg for his needs to be met, could now enter into society as much as possible. But then they drill him. They're like, okay, well, who did it? Because we know that if this guy was from God, that he wouldn't have done it on the Sabbath. Because, you know, godly people don't work on the Sabbath. And so who did it? And the guy's like, well, some guy named Jesus. He made some mud and spit in my eye, which, by the way, with COVID-19 is not something you want to try at home. But spit on the ground, made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go to Siloam, boom, I could see. And then they were still having a hard time believing this, so they call in his parents. You know, maybe there's some trick involved. Maybe this guy really wasn't born blind and they're lying. And so they bring in the parents and say, you know, okay, is this your son? Yeah, that's him. And was he born blind? Well, yeah. And they said, well, then who did it? And they didn't want to get in any trouble, you know, keep me out of this. Hey, look, I don't know who did it. I just know that he was blind when he was born, and now he can see. And so they go back to the man and say, okay, tell us, who did this? How did it happen? He's like, look, I already told you this guy named Jesus did it. And they were like, well, he's a sinner. You shouldn't follow him. And he goes, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind and now I can see. And so then he even drills him. He says, why? Do you want to be his disciples too? You see, the reality is, my friends, is that we have this tendency to be blind to what God is really like. We like to think that everything bad that happens in this world is ultimately God's doing, God's punishment on us for something that somebody's done wrong, whether it is we or somebody else in the world. And we see this God as this angry, wrathful God. But that's not who he is. Listen to what Jesus said. When his disciples asked why the man had been born blind, Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. You see, that's the way that our God works. You see, we have a God who can turn blindness into a blessing, who turns suffering into salvation, who turns tragedy into triumph. And so you better believe we have a God who can turn a virus into a victory. See, that's what the season of Lent is all about. As we focus on the cross, we focus on a God who is punished, not for anything that he has done, but for our sins, for our blindness. He takes on our pain, our suffering, everything that we deserve. And he nails it to a cross. That's the God that we have. I'll say it again. We have a God who turns blindness into blessing, suffering into salvation, tragedy into triumph, and buddy, you better believe that he can turn a virus into victory. And that's exactly what I believe is going to happen. So I want you to go home and I want you to ask yourself, how is it that God is going to turn this virus into a victory in my life? What can I do today to show this victory? I mean, maybe during this time, you get to spend more time with your family and you get have an opportunity to reconnect with people because we know how calendars are. Everybody's going this way and that way and this way and that way. And now we're forced to be together, to reconnect with one another. I mean, maybe, just maybe, we'll begin to realize how much we do need other people in this world. I mean, as we're being forcefully separated from one another, maybe we won't have our hands in a tablet or a phone so much, and we'll actually remember to connect with other people face to face. Who knows? Maybe we'll realize that being without each other is so horrible that maybe all of our differences don't really matter. That the fact that somebody might not look like you or act like you or vote like you or do the things that you do, maybe, just maybe, none of that matters. Maybe, just maybe, there will be a victory in this virus. See, that's what our God does. He takes the fallen and the broken and the painful and the horrific and makes it something wonderful. And in the same way, my friends, he can do that and does do that with you and me. You are the way you are. You are who you are, as you are, when you are, where you are, for a reason. And that reason is so that God's works may be glorified in you. And so I challenge you to show that glory to others, to let them see God's work in your life. This is a very trying time in this country and in this world. It's a time that we've never experienced. It's a time of pain and separation. It's a time of fear. And yet, we have a God who is still in control. We have a God who takes blindness and turns it into blessing. We have a God who takes suffering and turns it into salvation. We have a God who takes tragedy and makes it into triumph. And we have a God who can and will take a virus and turn it to a victory. Thanks be to God. Amen.